and welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us on the line one more time before Christmas is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. And Mickey, we're talking oil and gas for today's program. Little holiday cheer certainly to go around from that corner of the market. We've got a crash in crude oil that has sent a WTI to its lowest level in 5 years. A lot of pain inflicted in the energy sector. A lot of thoughts on this, Mickey, including that we have yet to hit bottom. How are you viewing this calamity as it's unfolded over the past few weeks?
WTI is down over the last 5.5 months from a high of $105. If memory serves, about the 1st of July, it closed yesterday, or Friday, I guess I should say, at less than $58. So from that point of view, a minus 45% drop. Brent has come down. It closed at about $62 on Friday. Same sort of drop, and the business is in turmoil.
It's in turmoil, and I've yet to speak with anyone, Mickey, who believes that we have hit bottom. In fact, I believe we've got top OPEC officials. We've got people on Wall Street saying, you know what, 40, 50 buck range, that could ultimately be it before we hit bottom. So this slide could very well continue.
Well, I think it will. The analysts that I've talked to are predicting $50 a barrel.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see where it goes. We've got to remember it went as low as $26, $28 in the first part of 2009 during the global economic crisis. So it didn't stay there very long, but certainly it could go lower here.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think OPEC throughout all this is stand pat in refusing to cut production, namely Saudi Arabia? For some people who are watching this from the outside, that may seem a little bit unusual. They'd expect OPEC, a big producer, to cut production to try to get prices to turn higher.
Well, I am of the opinion that this is a move by the Saudis and the United Arab Emirates and Kuwait. Maybe Qatar would be in that too.
Mm-hmm.
But the deal is the OPEC is fractured, if not broken. It's been separated really into perhaps two or three components. You have the haves, which would be the big Middle East producers who have very strong cash reserves and gold reserves and oil reserves. And then you have the rogue states in members of OPEC, which include Libya and Iran and Iraq. And then you have another group, which would be, and we probably should include Venezuela in the rogue group. But
Nigeria.
Then you have a number of African producers, Algeria, Angola, Nigeria. Their revenues are something on the order of 95% oil revenues to their exports, and even Russia, which is not a member of OPEC, but it derives something on the order of 65-70% of its revenues from oil. So it looks like to me it's an effort by the haves in OPEC to kind of straighten out the have-nots. You know, this is really gonna affect countries like Russia and Libya and Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And none of those countries are particularly friendly to the Saudis and
mm-hmm.
the UAE and Kuwait. You know, we have Iran, which is Shia-controlled. Saudis are Sunnis, and the Sunnis and the Shias have not gotten along for well over a century now. So I think it's an effort to kind of set the house in order. Certainly U.S., with its record production now approaching 9 million barrels a day,
mm-hmm.
We haven't seen those levels for nearly 30 years. It will hurt U.S. shale producers, but not in the immediate term.
That's what I was going to ask you, whether or not this is also an effort by OPEC perhaps to try to undermine the economics of shale oil production.
A lot of people have chimed in on that. I really don't think so. I actually think this is, I think the U.S. is on board with this. It will be a while. The trickle down to U.S. shale oil producers is going to be very slow. We've seen recently a drop in new well permits, but still the U.S. rig count is at multi-year highs. We've got 1,900 rigs operating right now. Mm-hmm. The trickle down to the shale producers is going to be a slow process. You just don't turn wells off, especially shale wells that you fracked. You want the production to come out of those and pay those capexes off as quickly as you can. So I would look at it not really affecting U.S. shale oil producers for at least 6 months, maybe even a year out. And, most of those wells will be economic and somewhere between the $60 to $75 a barrel range. So this fall, even if we go $50 or lower, I think that will be a relatively short period of time. I do not look for recovery to high prices for quite some time. But, this hurts Russia. It hurts Iran. It hurts ISIS. There's been reports that ISIS is selling some of their stolen crude from Syria and essentially the northern third of Iraq, which would be Kurdistan. Those are the countries that are going to be hurt most, and those are no friends of the Saudis nor the U.S. So I kind of think there might be a little conspiracy going on here between the Saudis, the Kuwaitis, UAE, and the United States.
Okay, so concerning shale producers, though, you're saying it could be a while before they really feel material impact. But you know who's felt an immediate material impact is equity holders, shareholders of a lot of these oil producers. We've seen their stock prices melt 30-40%, at least some notable Canadian companies, Mickey. Dividends have been cut. CapEx spending is being reduced. So this is really hurting a lot of people.
I think that's going to be especially the case for some of the higher cost Canadian companies. Mm-hmm. There's a significant amount of oil sale production in the total country production, and that oil sands production is not cheap. It requires huge capexes. It affects North America, but my point would be that it affects other parts of the world. This is a geopolitical move, in my opinion, with OPEC deciding not to cut production, and that was far from a unanimous decision. It was, the Venezuelan delegate to OPEC stormed out of the meeting. More than anything, I think it's going to fracture OPEC even more than it has so far.
Yeah, and of course you talked about the have members of OPEC and the have-nots. The have countries such as Saudi Arabia can easily get through this low price environment because they're swimming in money and gold in their vaults. But there are other have-not countries that are producers, Nigeria, for example, and others. Mickey, this is gonna hurt them and possibly destabilize some of those countries, perhaps.
Well, it certainly is going to destabilize certain parts of the world, but my opinion would be that the Saudis and the Americans would welcome some destabilization in Russia or Iran. These are not friends of either the big Middle East oil producers, the so-called haves, and that would be the Persian Gulf states, or the United States. So looks to me like it's mainly a geopolitical move here.
Okay, and through it all, your view of how natural gas has been trading through this crumbling crude?
Well, natural gas, Henry Hub gas closed Friday at still less than $4, $3.80. Mm-hmm. And that's been the case for quite some time now, and that's one of the reasons that the U.S. production, and especially drill rigs, has shifted dramatically toward shale oil versus shale gas. But even in places like Asia and Europe, the price of gas has fallen drastically. You know, I saw a price the other day for Asia at $10 a million BTU. You know, we were looking at $15 to $17 a million BTU, both in Europe and Asia over the last few years. And those Europe prices are really controlled by Russia. Mm-hmm. You know, I think this is, once again, to kind of put Putin in his place. You know, he the Ruskies have recently scrapped the South Stream pipeline, which was scheduled to go through Bulgaria to Eastern Europe and underneath the Black Sea. That's now been scuttled. Mm-hmm. So a lot of this is, to me, a consortium of company or countries that can probably afford in the longer term to take the hit on oil and gas prices. Mm-hmm.
And gas supplies, I believe that they are running below their long-term average, right? So we're not tons of the stuff out there, but we're still, you know, running a little bit less than what we're used to.
Well, I think so, yeah. And, you know, I think this, the low gas prices and what's going on in Russia right now with a balance of payments and a ruble that has lost something on the order of 30% of its value in the last few months. This is really going to hurt the Russians, and it's also going to hurt Southeast Europe, countries that are very dependent on Russian gas to stay warm in the winter. Could be a very cold winter in the Balkans and some of the ex-satellites of the Soviet Union.
Yeah, and I don't know, in wrapping up, Mickey, I don't know if you saw this report or figures, but Bank of Montreal, BMO Capital Markets, talking about natural gas becoming the fossil fuel of choice, and they've kind of crunched some numbers here to come up with an apples-to-apples comparison to crude oil. Its BTU equivalent, this is right now, in price of oil, is just $23. So, you know, there's a lot of attractiveness there for natural gas, isn't there, as a fuel of choice?
Well, it certainly is. You know, if you do an energy calculation and even the SEC and the IRS sign on to this sort of thing, energy equivalent for a typical barrel of oil to a million BTU of gas is about 6 to 1, 5.8 to 6 to 1. And that's been historically the price the Russians have set. A 6 to 1 price, that's why gas has been so high in Europe, for instance. Mm-hmm. But in the United States, that 6 to 1 ratio hasn't happened. It's somewhere during the big price run-ups in the mid-2000s, previous to the global economic crisis. So we're still a long ways from that. Mm-hmm. With the price of oil right now, let me do a quick calculation in my head. With oil, say it's $60 a barrel, and gas at $4, we're still looking at a 15 to 1 ratio. So it's got a long ways to go before it gets down to the energy equivalent, and that's one of the reasons why there's been so many coal-fired power plants switch to natural gas over the last few years. It's just so damn cheap in North America.
Okay, and we've talked about that in previous interviews. Let's wrap it up on that note, Mickey. We're going to try and squeeze out one more, I believe, just after Christmas and before New Year's. What do you want to talk about?
I don't know, Rob.
Okay.
Let's decide after Christmas.
Okay, that'll be a special surprise Christmas present for regular listeners of Mercenary Musings Radio. Great stuff, Mickey. Let's wrap it up there, and we will talk again in a couple of weeks, and have yourself a great Christmas.
Well, you too, Rob. It's always my pleasure.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com, and you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.